What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard, based here in Los Angeles. Joining me on the other line in New York is Billboard's editorial director, Jason Lipschutz. Hello, Jason.
What is up, man?
How are you?
I'm good. We usually record this like super late Eastern time on Mondays, and it's only like 4:30 here, so I'm very happy about that. I'm not hungry for dinner yet. It's great.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad that you're not hungry, because that would make you unhappy to talk. And so I'm glad I'm getting you in a good spot.
Yeah.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop, and where you can also hear about us talking about Jason's hunger pains on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we'll talk about how Justin Timberlake was announced as next year's Super Bowl halftime performer, how Taylor Swift is continuing to ramp up her promo in the run-up to the release of her new album, Reputation, and we take a look at some super early Grammy Award predictions. Grammy time's not that far away, man. It's a couple months away.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe it's not that early.
As showcased in Billboard Magazine's recent Grammy Awards preview issue.
Plus, in charts news, Pink scores her second number one album on the Billboard 200 chart with the biggest week of the year for a woman. How Niall Horan is on his way to a number one debut on the album chart with his solo debut effort. And how we've got two different rock bands in the top five of the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time in more than 10 years.
Pretty crazy, man. On top of that, we've got an interview. Actually, I have an interview. Usually, Keith is chatting with all the superstars. This time, I got in on the action with Vance Joy, a friend of the podcast. He's been on before. He stopped by to talk about his tour and his new music, which is coming at the top of next year, most likely. And yeah, love that dude. So you'll hear that later in the show. But first, Keith.
Yes.
Before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, if you, Keith, enjoy the podcast, if anyone listening enjoys the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you will never, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review while you're at it. Come on, just do it. It's okay. All the kids are doing it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. That's plural. That sounded a little like peer pressure. All the kids are doing it. Subscribe to Billboard Podcasts. Let's go. So there you go.
Yeah.
So let's start off with some of the biggest
headlines. Awkward pause.
Oh, you know what? Before we get started, I'm pumped because it looks like Keith is going to be in New York in a couple weeks. So we'll have like an in-person Pop Shop podcast.
Yeah, for I think only the maybe like
second, third time.
Like we did the second or third time maybe that we've actually like done the podcast in the same room together. We did one in Vegas after the Billboard Awards. We did a live video podcast after the Grammy Awards one year.
That was really good.
That's the GIF that you see Jason and I repeatedly share. That's from that podcast. When we looked very dapper in our suits. And yeah. I think maybe like I interviewed you once when you were a guest on the show.
You didn't interview me.
Yeah, I did.
We talked
you
about
were our
pop
special,
music.
You were our special guest one week when we talked about festivals and music festivals.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess
you
so.
You weren't the whole show that week, I don't think.
Yeah, you paired me. I'll never forget. You paired me with Magic.
Did I? Is that the week that Magic was
you were
on?
Like, you were like, yeah, you're like the special guest of this episode. I was like, cool, that's great.
Like a couple days later, it's like
Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Magic, and Jason.
And then three paragraphs down, and Jason's back.
Anyway, all right, well, let's get to some of the biggest headlines on Billboard.com, Keith. So we got to start with Justin Timberlake, now officially performing at the Super Bowl halftime show. The pop superstar will take the field on February 4th, 2018 in Minneapolis for his first Super Bowl halftime appearance since his infamous 2004 performance alongside Janet Jackson. What will he perform? Who will he bring out? Possibly Janet, whom, you know,
sure.
What's funny is that there was we're recording this on a Monday, that the NFL, like, released a statement, I think, saying that, like, Janet's not banned from the Super Bowl halftime show or something, which is just nice to know that someone's not banned from it. We'll find out everything in 3.5 months. We have a ton of time to speculate, but Keith, what do you think about this, this announcement? This is, like, the biggest platform of the year. And Justin's got it.
Yeah. Oh man, so many hot takes to be made. So many hot takes. Well, Jason had a really great hot take on Sunday night after this was announced. A take that was so hot, his tweet went viral.
People keep talking to me about my viral tweet. It's like, yeah, I guess
it had like hundreds and hundreds of favorites and retweets, didn't it?
It did. It did.
Yeah. Where basically Jason was just like, you know, yeah, Justin sings this one song, and then he has 9 minutes of an apology to Janet Jackson.
And then gone with
NSYNC. Gone
with
NSYNC.
I would love that.
I mean, someone else joked, and I don't remember who it was, someone else joked, and it might have been someone in our department at Billboard. Someone else joked, I hope Janet shows up and then basically just, like, rips off, like, you know, Justin's pants and, like, you know, exposes him. That'd be fun, you know? Little,
yeah.
Because we haven't said what happened. Well, obviously in 2004,
wardrobe malfunction.
There was a wardrobe malfunction at the end of a song. It was Justin's song, wasn't it? Gonna have you naked by the end of this song.
Yeah, and rock your body.
He reaches over and he was just supposed to rip off the outer portion of Janet's kind of like a leathery bodysuit that was held on like a breastplate, sort of, that was held on by snaps. And unfortunately, more than just that came off. Part of her bra came off, and you saw a boob on TV. And then, you know, it was just this terrible PR nightmare where Justin effectively kind of, like, threw Janet under the bus afterwards, and then she ended up getting banned by, like, the Grammy Awards or something silly.
And the whole thing is it's also worth remembering that, like, this was before Twitter. This was even before Facebook, really.
Yeah.
So it just kind of existed in, like, this, like, on, like, super old school internet and, like, you know, Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood. Like, it just, you didn't have this kind of awareness, so it was just like these big moments, like her being banned from the Grammys or something like that. And it's one of those things that has, you know, it's just like one of those moments that pop music fans will never forget. And it's, you know, so kind of looking forward to 2018,
right,
Keith?
Right.
What is like the best case scenario? I was joking about a set list in terms of like one song, a Janet Jackson apology, and then an NSYNC reunion. But like, what is like the best case scenario for Justin Timberlake performing at the Super Bowl?
Oh my God. It's like, the thing is, like, whatever he does, there will always be this like specter of Janet lingering, you know? And like, I don't think it's necessarily like the right decision for either of them to like show up together at the show. Like I don't think that would, like, Janet doesn't necessarily need to do that, but I'm sure some people would love to see that. You know, would we want an NSYNC reunion? Hell yes, because when Beyonce showed up and did the Super Bowl, she brought out Kelly and Michelle and had a Destiny's Child reunion. Of course you'd want that. He also has a lot to follow up because Lady Gaga turned out probably like the best Super Bowl performance in I don't know how many years. I mean, it's hard to top Lady Gaga earlier this year. So the other exciting thing here is, without even trying to speculate what he's going to do, is that this probably means there's a new Justin Timberlake album on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty cool too.
It'll be by the time of the Super Bowl, it'll be 5 years really since at least 2020 Experience Part 1 and then 2020 Experience Part 2. And you know, obviously he had Can't Stop the Feeling. So we'll see, man. We got to move on, but we got 3.5 months to talk about it. I'm sure we'll talk about it a whole ton.
Every week we can talk about
every
it
every single week. So on Monday, Taylor Swift teased her next music video from Reputation as the Ready For It visual. set to drop later this week.
Visual. Why do we call things visuals? They're just videos. They're music videos.
It's the anyway, ready for sorry, it. Go ahead. Visual. It will arrive roughly 1 week after the latest track from Reputation was unveiled. That, of course, was gorgeous. Reputation drops November 10th. Keith, are you ready for it?
Are you? Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, come on. The video teaser looks pretty expensive and super, like, high-tech, like she's in the world of Tron or something. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it looks kind of like Bad Blood on steroids, I guess. I don't know. I mean, all of these visuals. Music videos, both the music videos for Look What You Made Me Do and this one look like they're very, very, I'm trying to think of the right word, but I mean, they just look like huge music videos. These are not simple little things, and Taylor is not doing anything small. So yeah, I'm totally ready for it. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'd like more than a ready for it video?
I don't know what.
A gorgeous video. Because I don't even dislike Ready For It. I like Ready For It, but gorgeous, man. I'm all about that. That was my jam. It came out on Friday. I listened to it a whole bunch this weekend. So
give it time. Maybe you'll get a video in a month and a half from now.
You never know. November 10th for Reputation. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about, Billboard proudly, I will say, I was proud of this, unveiled its Grammy Awards preview issue last week with Best New Artist hopefuls SZA, Khalid, and Julia Michaels on the cover, while the first round of voting wraps up later this month. And
just a simple little issue with 177 pages. My God, this thing is a book.
And I've read every single one of them.
I'm flipping through it. Can you hear me flip through it?
I can. It takes a year or two.
That was it dropping down onto a table in front of me. Anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Very heavy. So the nominations actually are about a month away. They'll be announced on November 28th, and then 2 months later, the Grammy Awards, January 28th, 2018. And the new issue of Billboard also delves into Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, just in terms of the front runners as we perceive them. Hint, hint, Keith. Expect a lot of Kendrick Lamar. Expect a lot of Ed Sheeran. But before we end, we'll talk about Kendrick and Ed another time. But what do you think about, those three, Khalid, SZA, Julia Michaels, Best New Artist hopefuls?
Is it just me? It seems like the past couple of years when we've had this Grammy preview issue, we tend to put kind of rising stars and new artists on the cover, people that we think have a good shot, not just in certain categories, but maybe for Best New Artist. Is that kind of the vibe that we're going for?
That feels very true.
Feels like all three of these, Julia Michaels, Khalid, and SZA, all have a pretty good shot at Best New Artist. Certainly, I mean, I would feel that Julia has if they're not nominated for Best New Artist, Julia can certainly maybe get Best Pop Vocal Performance for Issues. Khalid is probably going to clean up in the R&B categories, as would SZA, I would imagine, the R&B hip-hop categories. Even if they're not nominated for Best New Artist, I feel like somewhere they're bound to get a nomination. Of course, I could eat my words here in a few weeks when something goes terribly wrong, but
we'll see, man. We'll see.
I don't know. What do you assume that they're all going to be locks for?
I think so. It's hard to say. I think Khalid and Julia Michaels definitely have had that kind of radio power. With both Location as well as part of the Logic song. Julia Michaels, obviously, Issues is still a pretty big hit. SZA, I mean, Control is one of my favorite albums of the year. So yeah, I mean, listen, I'm very happy to see all three on the cover, and go check that out. It's online as well as the issue is out now. By the way,
the photos look beautiful. You should check out the photo portfolio in the magazine and online. It's a really cool looking set that they were on. I think it was somewhere in Vegas. It was in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's at the El Cortez Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Very cool looking. Anyway, sorry, Jason.
Let's do it, man. It's chart time.
Start time. Let's run the Billboard chart numbers and do the chart chat. Here are three of the biggest headlines on the charts right now. Number one, Pink gets her second number one album on the Billboard 200 chart with Beautiful Trauma and with a very big debut. Number two, on the Billboard Hot 100 songs chart, we've got two different rock bands in the top five at the same time for the first time in over 10 years. We'll tell you who they are in just a second. And number three, Niall Horan is aiming for number one on the Billboard 200 chart next week with his debut album, Flicker. Flicker.
Flicker.
It's like a dolphin, but not. That would be Flipper. Flipper? What was the name of the dolphin?
Flipper.
It was Flipper, wasn't it? Yeah. All right, so let's break down each of these individually. First up, as expected, as we forecasted last week, Pink claims her second number one album on the Billboard 200 chart with Beautiful Trauma, which starts atop the list with 2017's largest week for an album by a woman and the fourth biggest week among all acts. It launches with a bigger-than-expected 408,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending October 19th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, a whopping 384,000 were in traditional album sales, the best sales week of the year among all acts, Pink's largest sales week ever, and the biggest sales week for an album in over a year. The only albums that had a bigger week in 2017 in terms of total units were Kendrick Lamar's Damn, when it started with 603,000, Drake's More Life, which started with 505,000, and Ed Sheeran's Divide, which started with 451,000. In terms of just plain old traditional album sales, the last bigger week by any album was when Drake's Views debuted with 852,000 copies sold back in May of 2016. And we have to say, like so many other albums, Beautiful Trauma's debut frame was boosted by a concert ticket album sale redemption promotion. And we're estimating that around, like, maybe in the low 200,000s, maybe around 220-ish thousand sales were generated by the ticket bundle.
Which is crazy because, yeah. I've, like, you know, if that's low 200,000, that's more than half of the equivalent album units, and even more than half of the 384,000 traditional album sales.
Yeah, like more than half of this album's debut was driven by a ticket bundle. And I explain in my story in a little bit more detail what these ticket bundle things are. And I've talked about them before on the show, and I don't want to bore everyone to tears. But I think they're becoming incredibly popular, and they're kind of showing their might on the charts. And to explain what they are, specifically in Pink's situation, every ticket that was sold to her upcoming tour had the cost of the album baked into the ticket price. There was actually, like, they actually raised the cost of the ticket prices to include the album. So when people complain about, oh my God, the fees that people put on and all the, why are the tickets so expensive? Well, actually, Pink's ticket became a little bit more expensive because they had to factor in the album. Now, they factor in a certain chunk of change into each album or into each ticket, and then they turn around after you've purchased a ticket and you get an email from, like, usually Ticketmaster, or it could be from someone else, like some other operator that handles these offers, that says, hey, you know, you bought a ticket to Pink's concert tour. Did you know that the album also includes her new album? Would you like to redeem your offer? You can click here and have the album mailed to you at your house or whatever. And you can take advantage of that offer, but you don't have to. And many people don't. Many people, you know, never take advantage of this offer because they don't want to own the album. They want to just stream it, or they already own another copy or whatever. But we only count the sales from those that, you know, are actually redeemed, not just automatically like, oh, every ticket sold, you know, we count that as a sale. No, it's only for those albums that were actually redeemed by customers. So that's the shrunk down version of how these things work, but you can see how they can certainly amplify an album's first week, because usually people take advantage of these offers in the first week an album is out, and then In the second week, when you don't have a redemption to help sales anymore necessarily, because most people redeemed their offer in their first week, we see the albums have a huge erosion, as we've seen recently with Shania Twain, for example, who had a ticket bundle, and her album went from number 1 to number 29 in its second week. So we'll see if Pink collapses and falls off the side of a cliff next week with her album, but, you know, you never know. Maybe it'll hold up pretty well. I don't know.
Well, congrats to Pink either way. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, even if you took out the ticket bundle, she still would have sold, like, 150-something thousand, like, yeah, just in sort of retail sales, which is still a really big number considering that people can't really sell anything these days. So, yes, the ticket bundle was a huge number, but at the same time, she still would have had the number one album without the ticket bundle.
It's so true.
Silver lining. Anyway, we can move on. You want to move on?
Let's do it.
I'm sorry I talk so much about these darn
ticket bundle
things.
You love ticket bundles, man.
I don't love them necessarily. I can talk about them. All right, so on the Billboard Hot 100, Portugal the Man's Feel It Still climbs 5 to 4, while Imagine Dragons' Thunder bolts, love that pun, 8 to 5. Oh, by the way, Post Malone is still number one with Rockstar. That means we've got two different rock bands in the charts top 5 at the same time for the first time in over 10 years. Yeah, it last happened on the chart dated February 17th, 2007, when Fall Out Boy's This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race, and Daughtry's It's Not Over were at numbers 3 and 4, respectively. Now, with these two rock songs in the top 5, it's actually the first time that we've had two rock songs in the top 5 for the first time in over a year. Since September 10th, 2016, when 21 Pilots actually had two songs in the top 5 at the same time, Heathens and Ride were at numbers 4 and 5 that week on the chart. So we've had two rock songs in the top 5 kind of recently-ish, but they were by the same band, so you have to go a little bit farther to find two different rock bands in the top 5. I'm not sure if this is necessarily like a trend. I just think it's like a coincidence that Portugal the Man has this fluke hit and Imagine Dragons,
I totally agree,
you know, happens to have, you know, I just don't think it's like, oh, we're gonna see a bunch of rock bands in the
rock
top 10.
Is back.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone to write that story like rock isn't dead. I'm like, it's cyclical, things happen,
these things happen.
Yeah. And lastly, according to industry forecasters, Niall Horan's debut solo album Flicker is on track to debut at number 1 on the Billboard 200 chart next week, with perhaps 150,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending October 26th. By the way, Niall also has a ticket bundle involved with his album. For those keeping score, he will also become the third member of One Direction to earn a solo number 1 album, following Harry Styles and Zayn. So, no pressure
three
on Louis
three.
Tomlinson and Liam Payne, who have yet to release their albums.
The Niall albums, really quick before we get to Vance Joy, the Niall album's pretty good. It's very much like, if you like Ed Sheeran and you like Ed Sheeran albums, you'll like the Niall album. I still love Slow Hands, one of my favorite singles of the year.
Is that like the most up-tempo track on the album, Slow Hands? Or is there
I mean, there's some pretty up-tempo. Like the opening song, On the Loose, I really like a lot. Check it out.
But there's no like full-on like dance floor like jam type, you know, he's not like disco in us out.
No,
like,
we'll leave the dance the Steve Aoki collabs to Louis.
All right man we got
to move on. It is time for our interview with Vance Joy. You might know Vance Joy from the crossover hit Riptide a couple years ago. Obviously he also toured with Taylor Swift, if you know who that is, on her 1989 tour. So he played stadiums a few years ago. He's back. He's got a new album prepped for the top of 2018. He talked about life on the road. He's been playing a couple of smaller venues before he goes wider, probably next year. Talked about, you know, just touring, getting back and playing these new songs, the single Lay It On Me. We talked a lot about exercise. We talked a lot about hiking.
Exercise.
Sure. It was very fun. He's been on the show before. Here he is again. Here's Vance Joy on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Lay it all on me now.
All right. We are here with Vance Joy on the Pop Shop Podcast. Welcome, man.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We were just talking about why you just shaved your beard because of a dog.
Yeah, I met a dog called Lando yesterday, a beautiful little tiny guy. And he's beautiful little dog, but he made my beard really itchy. And last night at 3 a.m., it was time for the beard to go because it was that itchy. And now I'm like fresh faced, and I think it's a new look, but I'm gonna just commit to it.
Wow, why 3 a.m.? What was? Did you have to like take some time to contemplate shaving?
Yeah, I had some contemplation meditation time, and then also I think I'm on bus time, which is like you go to bed at like 3 a.m. and wake up at like 1 p.m. the next day. It's good.
Oh, man.
It's just the weird sleeping pattern that I've gotten into.
I don't know if I could handle that.
It's kind of for being on a bus, it's like the bus call is always like 1:45. So we play our show at like, finish at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Then kind of stay up a bit. And then, you watch a couple of episodes of South Park or whatever with the guys in the front
of the
bus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then it's like, whoa, it's 3 o'clock. And then you sleep. And then, the bus is kind of like really actually good for sleeping. So it rocks you to sleep. And I don't know, like you can sleep till forever. But I kind of try and get up before 1 p.m. But yeah.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that was me in college.
Yeah,
like doing the staying up late, sleeping till noon. But I can't do that anymore because it messes with my equilibrium.
Yeah, it's just I think it's just the routine because the day is so, it kind of you have to kind of just wait around until the one thing we have to do is like say tonight we're playing at like 9:40 at night.
Yeah,
so it's like you kind of just hang around all day and then you're kind of like, okay, I'm looking forward to this show. Try and distract yourself a bit. And then the high energy go time is like way past, the normal routine of, a day-to-day 9-to-5 kind of thing. So it's like get all excited at like 10 o'clock at night, be buzzing at like midnight and then try and fall asleep. It's like, I don't know. It's fun. And it is really fun. Like, just living on the bus, for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
After a while, it gets a bit crazy, but, I really enjoy hanging out with the guys in the band, and we have a coffee connoisseur, and he makes really good French press coffee, and it's like, that's the morning routine.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's nice. He's very fastidious. Like it's like there's like certain amounts of time you have to like grind the beans and like wait like 6 minutes, then you press it down over 30 seconds, and like I was like trying to make it one morning. He's like, whoa. I'll take it from here. So
wow, he wouldn't trust you with the French press.
He wouldn't trust me with the French press. But it's nice. It's nice. Everyone has their role, and it's like an occult. It's like it's like everyone finds their role, and my role is to let him make me coffees.
Wow. So obviously you're spending your day doing press today while you're in New York.
Yeah.
Have you gotten and you've been touring the past couple of weeks? Have you gotten to explore any of the cities that during your downtime?
Yeah. There's been. I guess it's like we have days off every now and then, and you're kind of often in a place like in between cities. So we were in Roanoke, in Virginia, and
cool.
And it's like. You try and make something out of that day when you're there. So we went for a really nice hike on the Appalachian
that's nice.
Trail, and we met a guy who'd been hiking for 4 months, and he's going the whole way, and he's like, yeah, if I'm lucky I'll be finished by Thanksgiving if I go hard. And it was like, whoa, cool. So we try to fill our days in with activities and stuff when you're in that, and that wasn't so much exploring like a big city, but it was really cool, great view, met that that kind of that bearded hiker guy, which was really cool, and that was good. It supplied us with some stories.
Maybe he'll be listening to this podcast and be like,
in his tub.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of. I think he's got his phone. I don't know how he charges it every night, but he sleeps under a tarp, and he was actually looking really good for a guy that had been walking for 4.5 months. He like looked really good.
So. You get in shape, you'd probably be tired. Have you ever seen that movie Wild with Reese Witherspoon? It's also a pretty good book.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it. I have seen Into the Wild, which
Emile Hirsch, good one.
And he had a bit of that going on. He had a bit of Emile Hirsch. Like he was baby faced and young, but he also had like a little wispy little beard and. Yeah, it was cool.
So he was a young guy.
He was young. He was like 23 or 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I know I'm just talking. But that's fine. That was a good day of exploring, and that was a good I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was a day where we explored and saw something a bit different.
Is there a lot of hiking where you grew up?
There is. Australians get on their high horse about hiking.
Cause really?
We come to LA and we're like, they're like, oh, you should come and do Runyon Canyon. And, you know, for that, you know, Hollywood hike. And Australians go there and like, this isn't a hike. This is like a walk in the park for me. Like,
oh, wow.
And we get very snobby about the hike.
Wow.
Because we're descendant from, you know, Bushmen and stuff. But it's so far back. There's not really, we're all city slickers. And so we think that we're, you know, but we still, you know, run out of puff on that hike. But yeah, there's a lot of great outdoors things in Australia, but I think really not so much more than America. And that trail we did, the Appalachian Trail, was like, whoa, this is legit.
Yeah. That's a good way to kill a couple hours.
Yeah, it's good. Everyone's trying to stay fit.
I've thought about this, like going on tour. I don't know how you would exercise because like it must be such a process because, you know, you're playing every night, your whole schedule's off, you're on the move constantly. Like how do you guys maintain that? I guess you go on stuff like hikes.
Yeah, I go on hikes. I've got a skateboard that I do very mediocrely. And there's also the guys in the band have gotten into gym and stuff and they're all kind of doing like lots of protein powders and like amino acids.
Wow.
They're getting really deep into like the nutrients behind workouts, but I don't think they really need like I think my drummer has a legal amino acid supplement, which I like. Like he went to
he's
the protein shop.
He's getting a little too buff.
He's like getting really deep. Like he went to the protein powder shop and the guy's like, do you have like, like my friend's like, oh, my drummer, he has this amino acid. And the guy in the shop's like, yeah, that's illegal.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, whoa, like what is in that? So I don't know. We're thinking about having some of that protein.
I'm sure
that
guy was probably mistaken if it was just like amino acid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. They're getting pretty serious about it. And I actually watched a video of myself on stage. Like I typed in hashtag Vance Joy and I saw myself like a little snippet of me on stage. And I walk on the spot when I'm playing a lot. Like to the beat, and yeah. I think that's like where I'm getting my steps in.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Like the whole show, I'll just be standing on the spot.
You should get like a Fitbit, and then you could see if you're. It's actually like, ah, I'm actually burning a couple calories.
I did 7 miles. Yeah, I think I'm doing quite a few steps, but then I also was made aware of how like the range of motion in my hips is so limited that I just like I march like so stiffly, and I'm just like.
So we're not going to see a lot of choreography.
Not a lot of choreography and like just a lack of hip extension range. And I think I need to work on that. That's a separate thing, but I just need to do that. Just watching myself, I see Bruce Springsteen and he's like grinding into the mic stand. And I'm like, so not as sexy as that. So, yeah.
Well, you toured with Taylor, who does a ton of choreography, at least on her last tour. I mean, yeah, that's got to be pretty daunting to see her do that and also sing and also be playing and yeah.
I know. I was thinking about that. Like, what? Like, how do you go from? Obviously, she started with a guitar and then it all blossomed and developed into what she does now, which is lots of choreography, dancing, so much detail, costumes, and like the scale is huge. And maybe that's not in the cards for me. But
maybe it is.
I mean, watching her, like she had amazing dancers as well and like they were amazing. And yeah. So I just don't think I'm like, that's not my aptitude. My aptitude is, I think, just like playing the guitar the way I play it and like marching on the spot. Maybe I will have a sexier hip movement at some point, but I think it's just going to take years and years of yoga and like unlearning just like being the stiffest guy in the world.
Well, do you, I mean, I'm sure you're past like state, like jitters or like stage fright, or do you still kind of tense up before a show?
I get nervous before shows, especially like the first few shows of this tour. I was nervous just because, I don't know, just a bit out, just hadn't played for a few weeks or even played for a couple of months and playing some new material. But after about 8 shows, you kind of like, you don't have that nervousness before you get on stage. And you're like, oh, I wish actually kind of wish I had that nervousness because it kind of, you rise to the occasion a bit. But I think it depends who's in the crowd as well. If you got like, if there's someone you want to impress, like if you have a crush on a girl and she's coming to the show and you're like, gotta like be so good tonight. Because
wow, see, I was thinking that's like the only thing that can motivate me. You went like crush on a girl.
I think business people, like if it's a business person, you're like, I feel the pressure, like I need to impress them. Then definitely you're like, I really want to play well. It's funny though. I think the motivator is definitely business people. You're like, I want to, you know, show them that I can do this well. And then as well, like if there's a girl, if you can combine a business motivation and someone who you're crushing on, then that show should be a good show. Yeah.
Wow.
Or an absolute nightmare where you're just like too stressed out to even perform.
Have you had shows that you kind of look back on and were like, yeah, that wasn't that great. Or like that was kind of sloppy.
I think there probably has been shows like that, and you can probably get a vibe for when everyone gets off stage or whatever, and you're like, you might know.
Everybody's kind of looking at each other like,
yeah, if the energy's kind of low.
Right.
Yeah, and it's fine, and that happens. I think it's like, it's not really worth beating yourself up about too much unless like everyone's really like off the mark and like not rising to the occasion or not performing properly. But sometimes it just happens, and like you make a few mistakes and stuff. But even mistakes, I think, are good. Like, you know, like a mistake is actually makes it fresh, and it's like, if you make a mistake and acknowledge it, it actually makes the show kind of more interesting for you and I think for the people there, because you're like, whoops, I forgot the lyrics, but all right, we're going to start again. And it's like, at least there's a moment of like real authentic comedy or humanity there, so it's good.
How have the new songs been sounding on tour?
Great. Yeah, I think they're sounding good. Like we've got about 4 new songs in the set at the moment, and yeah, they've been really good. And it's nice. I've been meeting people after the set, and they've said that they've enjoyed, you know, they're like, oh, I like that song Like Gold, or I like that song Take Your Time, whatever it is. And it's like, oh, awesome. Yeah, it's like they're connecting a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hit or miss, just because, like, you know, nobody knows the words yet, or for the most part. So you have something like a Riptide, everybody's going to sing along. Mm. It's kind of bulletproof, but then you have, you know, something that's completely brand new, but that's exciting, because you know you've been playing that first batch of songs for years now, and now you get to unveil the new ones.
Yeah, totally. It's true. You don't really know. You play a new song, and you're like, how do you gauge if people like it? Like, obviously, there's like a sense of like you see people like moving along, but they can't sing along yet because they don't know the words, because it's the first time they've heard the song. So it's sometimes harder. It's nice when you get that affirmation at the end. It's like, oh, I like that song. What's that song called? It's like, that's you kind of. Yeah, it's always encouraging when that happens.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, I can't wait to hear more. New album 2018.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Thank you.
It was good catching up. We talked about Lay It On Me and how much I like that song, and it seems like you're having a blast out there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to come in here and talk to you in this nice kind of library. It's very
cool. Yeah, we're in the Billboard archives.
Yeah, it feels. I think this actually has influenced the vibe. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like august and very like majestic. What I would say.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool, and it's like, yeah, I feel like we're in good company here.
How long? How many more days are you on tour?
So tonight. playing in Brooklyn Steel, and then we've got a show in Toronto, a show in Montreal, a couple of shows in London, which are solo shows, which will be fun.
Oh, cool.
And then back to Australia mid-November, so not too many, about 5 or 6.
Have you been? I'm assuming you've been to Montreal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the best.
I love it, and the crowds there are so great. Like, the locals are super enthusiastic. Like, I think Boston crowds are really enthusiastic. Like, there's something going on there, and... There should also
there's something going on there
special, and also Montreal. People should investigate why they're so enthusiastic, because those two places, they're really, people are super pumped.
Cool, man. Well, Vance, always good to catch up, man. Check out Lay It On Me. It's out now. New album 2018. Catch Vance on tour for the next couple weeks, and hopefully see you soon, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again to Vance Joy again. Lay It On Me is the single. New album coming soon. Just a super good dude. Very tall as well. And yeah, happy to have him on the show.
All right, now it is time for the Chart Stat of the Week. 37 years ago, Barbra Streisand hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Woman in Love. The track ascended to the top of the list dated October 25th, 1980, and spent a total of 3 weeks atop the chart. It was Streisand's fifth and, so far, final number one on the chart, and was the lead single from her Guilty album, which was produced and co-written by the Bee Gees' Barry Gibb. In fact, the Gibb brothers are all over the album. Barry and his Bee Gees brothers, Robin and Morris, co-wrote the single Guilty, while Barry and Robin co-wrote basically the rest of the album, which spent 3 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. The Guilty album also generated 4 Grammy Award nominations for Streisand, including Album of the Year and Record of the Year for Woman in Love. She won 1 Grammy of the 4, Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal for Guilty, the song, alongside Barry Gibb. So, there you have it, 37 years ago this week, Barbra Streisand got her so far final number one on the Hot 100 with Woman in Love. All right, we are at the end of the show. Jason, any parting words?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I was gonna say let's go out on a Justin Timberlake song.
Which one?
Let's go out on Love Stoned.
Okay, cool. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys. She's got me love stoned, and I swear she's bad, and she knows. I think that she knows.